Vayelech covers Deuteronomy chapter 31. Vayelech means, and he went, referring to Moses. Israel has just reaffirmed the covenant and been assured on the one hand of great blessings and prosperity if we would be obedient, but also warned of the dire consequences if we chose disobedience. Our attention now turns to the transfer of leadership from Moses to Joshua. Moses reminds Israel he's not exactly a spring chicken anymore, saying, I'm 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. And you know, I wonder how the people felt about that. Despite being a good and faithful leader, and though his memory is deeply revered among our people, Scripture seems to indicate that many, if not most, of the Israelis resented Moses' leadership. Right? Hindsight is always 20/20, but at the time, he endured a lot of hardship. Consider the rebellions and the accusations repeatedly leveled at him. After all, Moses was no demagogue. He didn't aim at popularity. He called sin, sin, and he took people to task for it. Unlike today's avaricious career politicians, Moses was a reluctant leader. You'll recall that he didn't want the job in the first place. But it is a fact of our sinful human condition that we don't like change. We prefer the familiar to the unknown, even if the familiar is miserable. But Moses points the people's sights upwards. Now, he won't be going into Eretz Canaan with us, but Adonai will. And he is our true leader. If we could just take that to heart, it would go a long way to curbing the anxiety that we feel every time we're in a presidential election cycle. Oh, wait, we're always in a presidential election cycle anymore. Our destiny doesn't lie with the choice of a man, but with the God who goes before us. Moses reminded the Israelis that the Lord had cleared the way before them and charged them to be strong and courageous. Well, now Moses' time was coming to a close. In the next chapter, Adonai will summon Moses up Mount Nebo in the region of Moab, there to die. But here in chapter 31, God summons Moses and Joshua to the tent of meeting, where Joshua will be commissioned as Israel's next leader. Just as Israel was assured that God would be with them, Joshua is assured that God will be with him. And he too is urged to be strong and courageous. But the saddest part about Parasha Vayelech isn't the imminent death of Moses. No, rather it is the foretelling of Israel's apostasy. Adonai tells Moses that once Israel settles in the land and becomes prosperous, they will turn away from God and break his covenant. In return, God will withdraw his presence and his protection, and Israel will suffer disaster. None of this had even happened yet, but the infinite and eternal God knows all things. And for the good of his people Israel, and so that we would have no excuse for our unfaithfulness, and so that we might repent in the future and return to him, Adonai commissioned Moses to write a song and to teach it to the nation. That will be the subject of next week's Parasha Ha'azinu. One could wish that Israel had simply remembered and obeyed the God who delivered them from slavery in Egypt. But before you and I pass judgment on Israel too quickly, let me remind you that Israel's conduct is, in many respects, a mirror reflection of our own. Israel was redeemed, but eventually grew comfortable, conceited, and corrupt. You and I have received an even greater salvation through Messiah Yeshua, our sins have been completely wiped out, and we've been reconciled to God. Yet aren't we just as prone to take God's goodness for granted and become comfortable, complacent, corrupt? And we have the full record of God's word, so we are even more guilty. So how can you and I avoid the tragedy of apostasy? Well, the key is Zachor. Remember, never forget where you've come from. That is the key. And the key to never forgetting is to immerse yourself day by day, in God's word. A fresh start at hand is at hand in the yearly cycle of Torah readings. We're going to be rolling the Torah scroll back to the beginning. So why not make a fresh start for yourself in your daily Bible reading?
Thank you, Rabbi Glenn. I appreciated that. My message this morning, I'm calling Examine Yourselves. Rabbi Paul wrote the following to Messiah's people in Corinth. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Today is Shabbat Teshuvah, the Sabbath of repentance. It is the special Sabbath between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, during the 10 days of awe. It's a day for self-examination and repentance, for testing ourselves. Repentance means turning away from what is wrong and turning to God and truth and God's ways. What a good day to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. Let's examine ourselves in two areas: faith and practice. What we believe and if our practice is consistent with what we believe. Let's start by examining ourselves in the area of faith, what we should believe. There is something called the faith. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. The faith consists of the true teachings which are to be believed. The faith. Messiah's community, the church, has agreed since the 300s that the following beliefs are true teachings, and the Lord's people should believe those teachings. It's called the Apostles' Creed. I'm sure you've heard it recited before. From time to time, we recite it here at Shema. Creed means something which is believed. Messiah's community believes this is what the apostles believed, and therefore what we should believe, what we must believe. It starts with belief in the Father. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Not much about God the Father. He's the Almighty, he's the creator of heaven and earth. Now, the creed goes on for the Son, and there is more about the Son. I believe in Jesus Christ, Messiah, Yeshua, his only Son and our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. This is a very good summary of the gospel. Now for the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Not much about the Holy Spirit, but I believe in the Holy Spirit. This is Trinitarian belief. One God, three distinct persons sharing the nature of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now the creed moves on to Messiah's community. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. This does not mean the Roman Catholic Church. It means we believe that all believers are part of Messiah's community. Catholic means universal. So we believe that all true believers are part of Messiah's community. It continues, I believe in the communion of the saints. This means that there is a spiritual union of all the members of Messiah's community, including those living and those dead. All of us are in communion. We are connected. We are united to each other. Now the creed moves on to other teachings. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That's it. Is there anything in the Apostles' Creed that you do not believe? If there is, you need to change your mind and embrace these true beliefs. Now, in addition to believing everything in the Apostles' Creed, I'm telling you that we need to believe some other important truths. We need to believe that the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is divinely inspired and true. In addition, we need to believe what the Word of the Living God says about the important moral issues of our day. That homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, pedophilia, pornography are perversions which go against God's design, God's purpose for sexuality. You better believe that. We need to believe that sex outside of marriage is unacceptable. It is wrong. We need to believe that children developing in the womb are not to be killed. That being pro-choice, choosing to kill a child in the womb, is evil. If we do not believe these things, we need to repent of our false beliefs and believe these truths. Now, even if we believe all the right things, we can still be very far from God. We can still go to hell. Yaakov, James, the brother of the Lord, wrote this. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. and shudder. The demons are believers. They believe the truth about God. But they shudder because their actions don't match their belief. They shudder because they believe the right things, but they continue to rebel against God, and they know they are damned to hell. That's why they shudder. How about us? Do our actions match our beliefs? Are our practices consistent with our faith? We believe in God. Do we desire to know God? To be close to Him? To commune with Him? My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Is that us? We believe God has done, is doing, and will do so much for us. He created us. He gave us life. When we sinned, He sent the Messiah to redeem us. God loves us, forgives us, provides for us, sustains us, lives in us, chose us to be His glorious and eternal sons and daughters who will live forever and share an amazing eternal inheritance. Do our beliefs produce praise and thanksgiving? Give thanks in all circumstances, Rabbi Paul wrote, for this is God's will for you. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. We believe that God is our Creator and our Redeemer. We believe that He bought us with a very high price, the life and the death of the sinless Son of God. Therefore, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, everything we are and everything we have belongs to God. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to honor Him with our bodies, our lives, our service, with the first fruits of our time, our talents, our treasures. Do we? Are our practices consistent with what we believe? We believe in Yeshua, that He is the Son of God, the risen Messiah, the coming King, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. We believe that we are to be like Him and live like He lived, walk as He walked. Do our beliefs about Yeshua cause us to think about Him frequently, consider His teachings frequently, adopt His values and priorities, continue His ministry of world evangelism? We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe He lives in us. Are our actions consistent with our beliefs? Are we full of the Spirit? Are we nurturing the Spirit's activity in us? Is the Spirit empowering us for right living? Are we living to please the Spirit, or are we living to please our old nature, please ourselves, Are we grieving the Spirit? We believe God hears and answers good prayers. Not all prayers, but good prayers. Yeshua told a parable about a widow and an unjust judge to teach us to always pray and not give up in prayer. Does our belief that God hears and answers good prayers cause us to talk to Him frequently, to try to pray without ceasing? We believe God can actually talk to us. Messiah said, "My sheep know my voice." Does what we believe cause us to try to hear God talking to us in various ways? Through the Word of God, through wise advice, through circumstances, through God's still small voice. We believe all Scripture is God-breathed, divinely inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We believe the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold, sweeter than honey, honey from the honeycomb. By them we are warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. We believe these things about God's Word. We believe the Word of God is amazingly beneficial. Do we frequently interact with the Word of God? Is our delight in the law of the Lord? Do we meditate on His law day and night? Is what we believe consistent with our practice? We believe that God has ordained Messiah's community, and that God lives in Messiah's community. We believe that God lives in us, and that all Christians and Messianic Jews are united to God and united to each other. We believe that we are to love our brothers and sisters in Messiah's community, serve one another humbly in love, carry each other's burdens, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. We believe these things. Do our actions match our beliefs? Are we active members in a local manifestation of Messiah's community? Are we getting to know our brothers and sisters and helping them and strengthening them and encouraging them? We believe God is holy, and He wants us to be holy as He is holy. Are our actions consistent with our beliefs? Are we fighting to overcome sin, striving to resist the things that tempt us, trying to be holy? Or are we tolerating sinful things in our lives, ignoring sin, turning a blind eye to it, justifying it? Everyone else is doing it. It's not that bad. We believe that friendship with the world means being opposed to God, and that anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. The world is the evil system in which we live. It's controlled by the god of the world, Satan. The world's values are corrupt: love of self, love of money, love of wealth, power, fame, popularity. These are the world's values. God's values are love, humility, truth, faithfulness, salvation, courage to go against the majority. Whose values do we share? God's or the world's? Are we a friend of God or a friend of the world? We believe the gospel, which includes bad news as well as good news. The bad news is that the world is alienated from God, dead in trespasses and sins, lost, dying, perishing. We believe there's only one way of salvation. We believe that the gate is wide and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through the wide gate. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We believe that. We believe we are sinners and can't save ourselves and are in the greatest need of a Savior. We believe the gospel, which includes the good news, that God has sent that Savior that we need, Yeshua. We believe that he existed before he entered this world, that he entered this world through the incarnation. We believe all the things Yeshua said and did that are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We believe his teachings. We believe the miracles that he did. We believe he lived a perfect life, was rejected, suffered, was crucified. We believe in his resurrection and his ascension and the giving of his Spirit. We believe that those who believe these truths and become loyal to Yeshua will be forgiven and will live forever. We believe that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. We believe that we are Messiah's ambassadors who have been entrusted and commanded to proclaim the gospel, the good news, to the world. Are our actions consistent with our faith? Are we actively, consistently trying to proclaim the good news to the world around us? We believe in heaven. We believe in the world to come. We believe God will make a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. We believe we will live forever in the new Jerusalem as the holy and glorious sons and daughters of God. Are our actions consistent with our beliefs? Do we have a heavenly perspective? Are we living for heaven? Are we storing our treasures in heaven or here on earth? Are we living right now as if we were the holy children of heaven? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Father, thank you for this special Sabbath, the Sabbath of repentance. Help us to turn to you the way we should and turn fully to the true beliefs and then practice faithful practices. Help us turn away from any false beliefs, any hypocritical practices that are inconsistent with what we should believe. Amen.